from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that slowly goes where no boldness belongs but bores. Yeah, something like that. I'll work on that. Maybe I'll work on that every Sunday from now to eternity. Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Tonight's episode of Sleep With Me is also made possible by the hard worker Carl W., the legend who edited this episode, Scotty and Jennifer, who are on our artwork, Chris Postuposterson does the theme music, Jonathan Mann does the lullabies, and the listeners have a Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S, right? And it's narrated by Julie and Jennifer, Summer and Sarah, and Laura and Lida. And I'm still having trouble, like when I'm recording this, I'm still having trouble with the like stuff. So if you want to get a hold of me, the best place is on Twitter at Dear Scooter, or you can find the email and stuff. It's a little bit complicated, or just post something on social media, or go to our Facebook group. I'm working on the email situation, but email and Facebook Messenger and stuff, that's not working right now. Anyway, what do you think? I'm just here to put you to sleep. What are you kidding me? Let's get on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's already distracted by dish soap and also distracted. Did I already do? It's time for the pod. Are you up only tossing, turning, mind racing? You know, maybe because of too much dish soap. Or this episode, if you could title this intro, it'd be Dish Soap Deception. Yeah, but anyway, it's time for you. What did I say? Are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. And we do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside issues, whatever's keeping you awake, issues with soap issues. Oh, wait, I've been thinking a lot about soap today because I had a whole nother soap thing. I didn't even bring my soap box. As far as I could tell, none of it came in a box, the soaps that I'm thinking of. If you're soapy, I would say take a quick shower and rinse off and then listen to this podcast. But if you're awake because of thoughts, feelings, like sensations, noises, changes, events, whatever it is, I'd like to take your mind off of that. That's what the safe place is, a safe distraction, an alternative story, a kind voice being sent across the deep, dark night. These are the things I'm attempting to do here. If you're new, let me set the podcast up for you. So we had our business part of the podcast. That's out of the way. Now we have an intro. These intros can run anywhere from 8 to 12 to 14 minutes or somewhere in between. It's kind of like a mini show, you know, that some people skip and other people listen to, either fall asleep to. But it's usually a way for me to kind of say, who's making this podcast? Why are we making it and what's it about? But mostly what I do is I demonstrate how the podcast works, mostly by accident. What I do is I say, I'm going to try to attempt to do all those things. Instead, I just kind of be myself, and then I say, well, that was very meandering. Then after that, well, this is a Star Trek episode, a Next Generation, Next Borification. Maybe we just saw to the title. I don't even know how many episodes I've recorded. This might be the fourth. I think this is the fourth episode. And I think we finally came up with Star Trek, The Next Borg, for Dullification. No, I guess we didn't. We're close. We're getting there. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll be decided. But coming up here, we'll recap episode Justice. So you could skip ahead to that, or you could listen to this. You're under no pressure to really pay attention. So you say, well, for some people, it doesn't matter. Some people, you might want to get to the Star Trek stuff right away. You can use this podcast how you wish. You know, if you want to use it for pet soothing, I don't think it'll take any stains out of laundry. As a matter of fact, I'm a stainer. You know, I'm Mr. Messy. So, you know, just dealing with some hours ago, I was dealing with grease stains on my pants. And that was before the great dish soap deception that I just came across. I don't know how, I don't want to call out any of the major brands either. So I'll have to be sensitive about that. But so that's how the podcast works. You don't need to listen. You don't need to pay attention, but you can. I'll be here as your boyfriend, sitting here trying to keep you company, trying to take your mind off stuff, make you look forward to bedtime or not dread it. And like, let me just get to my personal issues, you know, because that's who's making this podcast? A person that thinks today, a person that's thinking a lot about soaps. Also, this is a crazy thought. I said, why don't I make a YouTube video about this soap? And I said, well, I don't make YouTube videos, creative brain. And what are you talking about? I think, like, I have voices and stories going in my head all day long, and that was the first time I tuned into that one. Like, there's a YouTuber in my brain, 24/7 broadcasting YouTube channel ideas. I also just pitched someone on, I have no business doing this. I barely have a second of time other than, but I said, I pitched someone on a Twitch channel earlier today, too. I said, I think we could do something here. So I have overactive brain, check, ability to obsess about things, check, and those kind of things can keep you awake. And also stuff like with a little bit of a sharper edge, like this. So I have a unresolved soap story, a positive one, and then one that I'm not too happy about, but it's not the end of the world thing. Well, it's not really that big a deal. And we got about 6 minutes here. So I'll try to run through. So the positive one. So I had grease stains on both. I have two pairs of the same gray Levi's pants or jeans. They're pants, I guess, because they're gray and they're not denim. And you say, well, why do you have two exact same pairs of the pants? Well, one, they became discontinued. Two, I stain everything I own. Three, I don't like wearing pants. And when I started wearing these, they said, well, these aren't bad. I better buy another one since they're discontinued because, you know, what'll happen. And in my original plan had been to, like, you know, wear one pair for a year and just keep the other pair and then start wearing them. But then I started just alternating whichever pair was clean, you know. But today I face the prospect of probably returning the pants from work wear because they were my pants to wear to work. And they just go into the street. Because I mean, my personal life, like, people are, you know, seeing your grease stains. The problem with grease stains is, why do they have to be in the crotch area always? I mean, because it's where I wipe my greasy hands. I mean, there's no grease going on around there, you know, so, but it's just not a great spot for grease stains anyway. Because you say, Jesus, like, and they say, well, you're not drawing any attention there. I say, thanks, insulting brain. Yeah, I'm not drawing, thanks. That's hilarious. That's totally hilarious. But so, and I'd say this bar, so at some point, a friend I would meet at a 99-cent store, and we would do the fun 99-cent store shopping, and she was telling me about this pink soap that her mom used that you can get at 99-cent stores. Ends up there's two brands, so I don't want to, that make this pink bar soap, laundry soap, hard laundry soap. And we were, of all the topics we were talking about, was the stains on my shirt. And I said, well, geez, I don't think I can even get these grease stains out of here. Because they were, it was when I was an insect trapper and they were from the glue anyway. And she said, well, you should use this soap my mom uses, this pink bar soap. And so at some point I decided to try that. And since then, which would probably be 12 years, I've had this pink bar of soap with me. And the problem is, you know, realizing you need, I don't have a laundry routine. I just do it when I have time. But I knew these were my favorite two pairs of the same pants. I don't know if that counts as one pair. But so I said, well, let me try to get these crotchy. I mean, they're from the knee all the way up. Of course, they're on the thigh. It's like, let me deal with these grease stains. And they're pending. Actually, the wash is done because I had it, but they're not in the dryer because they said, well, you know, I can't have the dryer going when I'm recording the podcast. But I've used that pink soap before, and I've never, like, I don't know if I've tracked, I don't pay attention, you know, because I'm permanently used to grease stains. So I've never said, wow, that really got it out. But I've never been disappointed either in this soap. So pink 99-cent store soap. I will say one of the brands, because it's very podcasty word, Zote soap. That's the best pod. I mean, Zote. I should, a little close to Zygote. You're right over, yeah. But otherwise, that would be a great nickname. Zote, Z-O-T-E, I believe. Get yourself some Zote soap. It's a free ad for Zote soap, 99 cents at the 99 cent store. So that was a positive and pending. We'll see how it turns out. I'll tell you what, it like probably won't care because I say, well, those were my work pants. I have four pairs of work pants, two gray, two tan, exact same model as my gray pants. And then I have another pair of pants that are like casual type pants that I had to buy for a wedding, like on the way to the wedding. And luckily I had time to get them dry cleaned. So then it looked like good pants for just like 20 minutes at the wedding. So I'd hate to like lose like, what is that? Five. So two out of five is like, that's like a high percentage of pant loss. So we'll see how it turns out. But then the soap deception, I guess I'd wrap it up fast, is that I just realized it had this dish soap that I was using. And for the longest time, I was buying Trader Joe's dish soap because that's where I do most of my shopping. And I don't really want to go to another store just to buy like one or two products. But sometimes this happens. But I always notice a Trader Joe's. I mean, I don't want to say anything mean, but the dish soap underperformed, in my opinion. And maybe because it's more environmentally friendly. But when you're hand washing dishes, you know, I don't know, you just notice these things. And it, like, if it's underperforming, you might use more soap. But they had this wonderful purple, and, you know, that made up for it, like a purple colored soap, like, But at some point, like when I was at the other grocery store, you know, the mainstream one, I realized I was out of dish soap. So I bought it there on a trip there, and it had the OxiClean or some sort of oxygenator in there. And it was like really like cooking with gas. When I started washing dishes, I said, holy mackerel. And I think this was like a preemptive dish soap buy. Yeah, it was, because I had half a thing of purple Trader Joe's. So I mixed the two. And then I used that for a while, but then I realized that would take a lot of planning. So then I just went back to, you know, alternating. But that would really work good, if I was more of a planner, would just be mixing your own dish soap. 50% Trader Joe's, 50%, you know, dominating dish soap brand with oxygenation. And I'm pretty sure that was proven not to be a real thing. But whatever they're doing, it gives me confidence in the dish soap. So you say, well, yeah, it's causing those algal blooms. And I say, I'm pretty sure that stuff got, I just want to wash my dishes. I'm trying to go to sleep. This is why I make a sleep podcast. Because that same place inside that says, I just want to wash my dishes, says, I just want to go to sleep. So that's what this podcast is, to offer you an alternative thing. But then today, moments ago before I sat down at this mic, I was using the corporate soap, the corporate dish soap. I was listening to Who Weekly with Bobby and Lindsay. And I noticed, like I said, I wonder how much soap is in here. In the friggin' soap, the plastic is the same color as the soap, but not like the whole plastic, just like, so you always think it's full of soap. And I said, holy crow, I have no idea how much soap's in here. You know, and a normal person would probably just hold it up to the light and see. But I just felt like I'd been deceived, which I had been. And I said, I would have been much more suspicious, you know, purchasing a soap without a clear bottle, but the bottle that you thought was clear because it had the blue. I said, what are these people up to? Like, I don't know that I've been deceived, but I felt deception, if you could tell the difference, which is worse. Cause then if I was shaming the soap, the soap shaming, the new feature on Sleep With Me, I'd say, soap, if you didn't do such a darn good job foaming the heck out of this sink and actually feeling good, and then like you're a little almost too good, then mixing you with the Trader Joe's when I have the will to do that, you know, I would really be upset with you with your fake labeling action and possibly, you know, algal blooms. I don't know if that is your fault, but anyway. So that's why I make a sleep podcast in a soap bottle. you know, just the soap trio tonight on Sleep With Me, the soap trio. That might be anybody working on a doo-wop group. Feel free to use that soap trio, or remind me. Could be another, you know, fictional autobiography. You know, my days with the soap trio. I want to say palm, you know, olive the palm or something, but that would be too on the nose, you know. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. You don't need to pay attention, but I'll be here for at least an hour to distract you while you fall asleep. You're not under any pressure to fall asleep right away. If you're just getting here and you're skeptical, give the podcast a few tries. See if I can win your trust over. You know, you don't freely have to give it to me. I need to earn it, and I'll do it by being a bit strange, but doing my best. And why? Because I really hope and I really yearn to help you fall asleep. All right, thanks for coming by. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody. So tonight's quote, I don't know if this will be a new thing, but I think there's always like a little quote. The quote of this episode is from Counselor Troy, who says, "Sharing an orbit with God is no small experience." And, you know, there's so many different ways to wrap your head around that one. Quote of the night, sharing an orbit with God is no small experience. Thank you, Counselor Troy. All right, folks. So this episode, we're talking about season one, episode 7, Justice. And the suggestion came in from Jonathan Mann. So I think I'll probably record an extra segment on the top here for that. And I haven't listened to last week's episode yet, but so I don't know if I did this last week or this is the first time, but so, like, as I said, this Star Trek Next Generation thing is probably going to evolve over the next, I don't know how many episodes. But with Justice, what I decided to do is watch it. So I watched it once, actually happened to watch it, a few months ago. Then I watched it again on mute in 3 15-minute segments so I could maintain my focus, even though it was on mute. Then I watched it a third time with the dialogue on. And then, you know, in the second half of this, I'll have it playing while we do the dialogue run through. But let's run through this first, interpretation here. It looks like season 1, episode 7, it looks like in my handwriting it says juices, but it's justice. It didn't put a T in justice. And then I spelled planet wrong. Earth-like plant, P-L-A-N-T-E. Picard's arms are crossed and over. Wow, this is a tough one. Over the shoulder of Picard and, so it gives like an over shoulder of shot of Picard and the planet, or PLA, this is my handwriting, it says PL, squiggly line that could be LA, DR. But since I spelled planet wrong, I'm going to guess it's planet. And then Troy is in, I said, what's up with her red gem hair thing? Is that like part of being a Betazoid or not? And is that, I don't know if that's just a season 1 thing. It looks good. Everyone's on deck. Dr. Crusher's arms are crossed. What does this say? Baller seeds? Oh, pleather seats. It looked like baller seeds. Like I said, what is that? Like, I don't want to think about that too long. What are baller seeds? But, leather seats. And I think maybe I meant to put pleather seats. Oh, no, then I said or pleather. The backs look like pleather. Man, my handwriting's really off here. Riker, clean. Oh, Riker, it looked like clean squirm, but I think it's clean shaven. Oh, also another question came up. What's the maximum number of people on the deck at all times? Like, is there a fire code? Well, you know, because there has to be, like, in a alert situation, you know, you want everybody to have, you know, efficient movement. I bet you there's even, if you're going one way, you're just close to the console. I don't know. I'd like to know these things. Then the opening, maybe Earth, I couldn't follow it fast enough. Earth, Jupiter, star, Saturn, Enterprise. Okay, then we're in orbit of the Earth-like planet. And then I put WTF joggers. You got to watch this episode. It is like straight out of the 1970s or 60s. And it's pretty awesome. I mean, again, the sensibility of Next Generation that I'm slowly learning and dawning on is this trickster, like a trickster creator. And I don't know if that's a personality thing with Roddenberry or Moore or somebody else, but very, very funny. And then you see these joggers, and they're very perfect people, like in very skimpy clothes, not diverse, very white and very Nordic, I would guess. But they're not humans either. They're diverse in age. After you watch it 3 times, you start to notice these things. Worf is very defensive. I put Holy Disco Duck. And then the primary female character from the planet, I couldn't tell if she was wearing a wig or not. Her hair was very curly. Then they put very airy in there. Tasha is very warm when they're meeting because they're all giving hugs. Worf smells the woman's hair. Wes is wearing the sweater. And I didn't even mean this. Maybe I did mean it as a double entendre, but I put Wesley hot in his sweater, ? But I don't, I was honestly thinking that too. I'm like, doesn't Wesley get hot in that sweater? And there's lots of shared awkward looks. The guys have this like, they have like a, there's different outfits. I don't think I quantified all of them. The guy's X of cloth looks like Burning Man. Oh, like it looked like the shape of the Burning Man statue when you see it on pictures. Because the guys, they have like, and now I can't even remember. Maybe I'll just talk about that I'll describe the episodes in the next run through. And I said, oh, this place is like some sort of space rehab. There's this big, giant building. I was also wondering where they filmed this. It looked like a big, like, municipal, like, civic center or something. Like, that might have been built in this, like, during the, like, expurb period. or the suburb period where it was like built outside the city center somewhere and it has these landscaped grounds. I mean, Marin Civic Center is very different than this one, but it kind of reminded me of that, like structurally, not design-wise. And if you never Googled Marin Civic Center, you know, do yourself a favor. Holy moly. I went to the bathroom there once. I just drove there. I was up there for work. This was like 20 years ago. Maybe not that long ago, but. And I drove there, looked around, went to the bathroom and left. It was great. Oh, and then everyone just jags off, like some space rehab. I said that. Where'd they film this? Wesley meets some other kids. People are playing lyres and harps, and there's some strange interpretive dance going on. Tiny cocktails are being drank, like champagne. Full public oil massages. And the kind of characters lead the crew of the Enterprise away on by their hands. Which is always like an enticing, you know, at least it does stir this feeling of seduction, you know, being led away by your hand. Data's on the bridge with Geordi and Picard. They're turning away from the ship for the planet to see something. The alarms go off and there's like this half-visible ship or structure. Everyone's perplexed. Geordi looks at it from the lounge. It's some kind of Pepper's Ghost effect. Then a light bubble floats out. It goes onto the Enterprise, up onto the bridge. What? Right up to Picard. And then it makes a loud noise that kind of shakes the ship and talks to Picard. Then it shakes the ship some more. Picard seems to make some long speech at the bubble, like a little soap bubble. The theme of this night. And then it faces off with Data, who's like mesmerized by it or something. And then it just fuses to Data's forehead. Which was, you know, just a bubble on the forehead. And at some point, Data just lies down and says, okay, let's just fuse here. Then we're back on the jogging planet. The kids are walking on their hands, and Wesley's kind of showing off. And then I wasn't sure if the kids were more advanced in their development than Wesley or, like, their practices. Because Wesley kind of says, no, I'm not ready for that, but I am ready to teach baseball. Riker's walking around. He's kind of taking it all in. And it's just like a very loving, free love planet, I guess. And there's like people kissing everywhere, making out. Now they're not kissing. And Tasha, like, for the time being, one of my favorite characters because she's just smooth. I don't know. There's just something about her. But she's kicking it in the background, and she's just having a drink with these two people. And then another group of people are playing this game with silver balls, and there's, you know, lots of free love, as I said. Riker loves it. He's cracking up. He finds everything amusing. And maybe that's, like, something that works about the show. I haven't watched enough of Next Generation, and I haven't done any reading because I'm paranoid about listening to other podcasts or reading about Star Trek Next Generation. So my apologies to any, you know, people that actually know stuff, because I don't. I mean, my ignorance is, I fear that it'll complicate the podcast, you know, or mess me up. But, like, how much does Riker's amusement give the audience permission to be amused, you know? So it's like, okay, Riker's laughing. We can laugh, too. It helps to give us, like, an emotional anchor, maybe. And I don't know if Deanna Troi is another part of that. And then, not important in this second. But then Riker's laughing. Worf doesn't like it. You know, Worf's but is so serious. And then Riker tries to check in with the Enterprise, but it's no dice. So then Troi and Worf are kind of worried about that. Then Tosh is kicking it, and then Worf goes over. He's not happy. I didn't know if he shamed her, because she was just, like, enjoying herself in the company of these two people. Like, in just the art of conversation. And they were drinking red cocktails. And then whatever the aliens told about, whatever they're talking about makes Tosh and Worf wonder, double question mark. And what? And then they get up and it confuses the aliens. I don't know what this says. An ad. And then there's an ad break. And then Wesley and the kids are playing in a very manicured park. And this was ridiculous. I mean, this part was like ridiculous. Wesley crashes into this small greenhouse. It was like, it was just, I mean, it didn't take away from the episode. It was just ridiculous how unlikely the crash was. But security shows up and they're also half naked and jogging. And it must have a lot of vaseline, like a lot of non, you know, de-chafing things on this planet. Riker, or maybe they just build up a resistance. Probably that, I guess. And then Riker and the trio show up, and they, how much for the flower? Oh, yeah, Riker's like, how much do we owe you for these flowers? And then Worf and Tasha show up. They're like, hey, don't break any flowers. They got big rules about that. And then they're like, oh, too late. And security's like, sorry, Wesley, you know, you gotta go to, you know, jail for this, or for breaking the flowers. But the Enterprise crew's like, no, no, no way. This was an accident. Hey, you haven't heard about what, we didn't tell you about Wesley. Like he crashes into flowers and stuff. He's brilliant. But there's like this kind of standoff. Then Riker checks in with the Enterprise. Spaceship. Oh, the spaceship was like a table. Like then we're back on the bridge looking at this weird spaceship that's like half visible. Dr. Crusher's something. She's like scanning the Data's bubble brain. And then after a minute, it lifts off and leaves. And Data's still asleep. Then we go to another commercial break. Then we're in space. Planet Picard walks into Troy. They put serious arm angles. I don't know what that means. I mean, it means their arms were at serious angles, saying this is serious business. Oh, then we're back on the planet. There's lots of side thigh. Oh, he must have talked to Troy over the radio. But yeah, like everyone talks about different side things. If you lived in a place that forbid viewing thighs, like you would love this because you say, wow, that's a lot of side thigh to see. Everyone sits down and they try. Maybe Picard must. This one, Picard showed up, I guess, at the planet. Combat serious. Some people have necklaces, some people don't. Some Van Dandy. I don't know what that is. Is some VANICTY. Some variety to their outfits. There we go. Figured it out. All very clean. And, oh, I wondered, is there do they do community laundry or their own? Like, do they use Zote soap on this planet or some other soap? Crusher's kind of crushed by what Data says to her. Then we go to an ad. Then we're in space, both the ships. Picard's still on the ship, I think. Maybe looking out, hands clasped, he's thinking and worried. Data comes in. I don't know what room this is, but there's a small bar. So I said, is this the officer's lounge? But then I think I looked it up as the viewing lounge. Data's got a theory. Then Crusher shows up. She's stoic and sad because her son's been arrested. Then we see Riker back in the planet. He's looking at trees. Then Riker and Crusher beam in, and woman bows to Riker. I think these notes are off. Returns his pin. Yeah, I missed a set of notes because I thought Riker beamed back with someone, Picard beamed back from someone with the planet. Wesley comes out with security, but Tasha's with them, and they kind of discuss. Picard kind of lays down. He makes some kind of pitch to security guys. And Wes kind of is trying to be strong, but then he kind of gets to go to his mom. Then Tasha kind of seemed to be trying to play peacemaker for everyone. And then everyone just beams up, but no dice. I don't think it beamed up. The beams didn't work. And now everyone on the planet is like, we're going to be in big trouble with that table up in space. So Picard yells up to the gods, and Riker kind of makes a comment, and then they get beamed up. So that's like, it's kind of how a lot of episodes end. You know, Picard does something, Riker makes a comment, boom, the problem solved. And this was one to check, set your time codes for. We're on the bridge, 4327. You got to check this out. Justice 4327. I think that's the Amazon time code, but I'll probably work on the Netflix. Like, I just happened to be pausing it or something at this moment. And Data's totally having this social, he's sitting in the captain's chair. He's talking to Counselor Troy. And it was like social hour, like there was no crisis at all. It's just hilarious, like just happened upon it. Data's like, and then, you know, Counselor Troy's like, tell me, Data, how do you process, you know, and then he goes, oh, funny story. I mean, that's not how Data talks, but like, so, like that was what their body language said was happening. And then it's all hands on deck and the strange ship building disappears. Picard nods. Crusher puts her hands in her pockets and they head off. And that was the end of the episode. All right. So here we are with the dialogue run through and the live run through. It's playing now. And it started, Captain's Log talking about an M-class planet. I love how Picard says, unusually lovely. And Riker's very excited to report. Or what is Riker excited about? Yeah. It is Earth-like beautiful. It will startle you. Oh, yeah, they walk on the bridge, and Picard is, like, grinning and clean-shaven, so happy. He looks like he just got a haircut. He's grinning ear to ear. And double team, Troy and Crusher, they both say the crew needs some lead time. Riker comes on the bridge laughing, full teeth. He's so smiling so big. And he says, is it as good as you report, number one? And I love how Picard, this is another thing I'm learning because I'm new to this. He always says, suggestions. Now, why does it say pound 17? I don't know why I put pound 17. Maybe he said suggestions, number one. Let me just check here. So Troy and the Crusher, they say, we got to go down here. They say they're wild, like they're, you know, they have different beliefs. You know, they're very lawful, but very amorous. And then Picard says, what are the negatives? Riker says, not any that we know about. And then they're having this faulty reading, which is a little bit of, you know, and then they say, well, let's take a small group down there. And they say, why don't you take Wesley to check out if it'll be good for young people? It will startle you. Open things for the children. And then Tasha and LaForge, oh, they talk about no negatives, faulty reading. Seemed like a little tension between Data and Worf about the glitch in the system, but I'm not positive about that. And then Tasha's like, I'm in a hurry to get down there. Let's do this. And then, of course, there's, let's hope this isn't too good to be true. And then it opens. And then, what is CLS? I started trying to make notes for stuff. What is it? What would CLS stand for? Oh, Captain's Log Supplemental. Edo is the name of the planet. They call it Rubicon 3. Or the people are Edo. And finally earned some well-earned recognition. The people certainly are fit. I notice on this one that Riker also smells the woman's hair, not just Worf. So in the earlier one, you know, Worf kind of got pegged for that, but Riker also sniffed the woman's hair. And I can imagine if you're on a ship, like you say, well, geez, that smells like coconut mango. Like we don't have that on the Enterprise, you know, cocoa mango shampoo. You know, Riker asks Troy what she thinks. She says they have healthy sense of sensuality. And then Worf has a killer line, which I'll have to look up here. Oh, he says, nice planet. When he hugs, it's just hilarious. He hugs a woman. She says, I welcome the huge one. Oh, yes. And Worf says, nice planet. It was so smooth. Like he was at a bar. I don't know. And then she meets Wesley, says, oh, you're a young one. I don't know what your customs are regarding love. And Wesley says, well, whatever you're into. And she says, she just kind of gives, she gets it, though. She kind of gives them a basic thing. And then they say, well, geez, do you want to go to the council or do you want to stay and play with love, you know? And they're like, oh, boy. And then Wes is like, maybe I should get out of here. They say, let's find you some other kids to play with. Don't worry. No one does anything uncomfortable to them on the planet here. Whatever pleases you. And when they say play out loud, there's like lots of good looks exchanged. Oh, I like how the woman says, oh, this is unfair to them. Our rules are simple. No one does anything uncomfortable to them. And then they say, well, do you want to run there? And then they say, perhaps they can't run. They find that hilarious. And they say, can't Wesley, this is great. He goes, can't run. Of course we can run. Let's show them, Riker. And then Riker goes to Worf. He goes, hey, buddy, when in Rome, you know what I'm saying? And Worf goes, when and where, sir? And everyone's saying, hey, welcome, welcome. To your good health. And Riker says, she's like, because they're surprised they can run. And Riker says, we may surprise you in a lot of ways. Then we're back on the ship, and Data's like, that's not a glitch, sir. There's some sort of shadow out there. It's kind of in and out of our dimension. And that's what Data says. Then Ricard says, we request you identify yourself. And then he put WTF zoom to Picard when the ship comes out or something. I don't know. And then there's a zoom to Picard and the ad. Let's see the WTF moment. And Picard's looking. I see nothing. Oh, Data says there's an object. Request you identify yourself. And then this strange table like a ship also looks like a structure appears. Oh, here's the zoom. Oh, Picard just has a WTF look on his face. Then there's an ad. Then there's a hailing. I don't know what's hailing. Unintelligible. Oh, the whatever they're saying. And it's half there. And then Geordi looks at it. He says, it's something I've never seen before. It's not really there. Which is like I said, just something I'd never seen before. I kind of thought that was a joke almost. And then Data says, they say, what do you think they're saying? Data says, they stand by. And then that's when this like soap bubble comes to the ship. And Picard, why has everything become a something or whatever state or D? What does that mean? And then Picard says, why has everything come a something or whatever? And then Ito, the thing says, state the purpose of what you're doing. That's what the bubble says. And he says, I'm Picard, Federation. They go, what do you want? He goes, oh, we're trying to make peaceful contact. And they said, are you going to leave people here? He said, no, we're just visiting. But we did leave some people somewhere else. We did do a colony. I think Ito asked about that. They said, well, it was uninhabited. The life forms we left there had sought the challenge of creating a new society. He goes, life on our world is driven to protect itself by seeding itself as widely as possible. And then the Ito says, don't mess with the children below. And then it goes over to Data and it says, can we exchange data? And then they say, Picard says, it would probably be a good idea. Then we see Wesley and the kids. There's like all this subtext and confusion. I also noticed that some people are wearing slippers at this point, I noticed. But, you know, at some point, Wesley's playing with the kids, and he thinks, she goes, oh, I'd like to teach you something. And Wesley goes, well, I'm not, you know, he goes, I don't know. And she goes, playing ball. And he goes, if you got a bat, I could show you how to play ball. A stick or a branch, something this long. But Wesley's kind of supposed to be the wallflower, which is, I mean, because he, like, I don't know, it's just, it's hard not to read between the lines on some of this, but I think it is and easy to miss too, in a good way, like where you're not like me, you know, overreading. Then Riker, this will please you. Oh, there are people playing the ball game. They say, hey, this will please you. Join us. The good like Worf. Oh, I think that's what Riker says. This is a good life, huh, Worf? And Worf says, I'm not concerned with pleasure, Commander. I'm a warrior. And Riker goes, don't you need love? And he goes, well, if I wanted love, I'd like a Klingon woman. And Riker goes, what about like pleasure? He goes, don't you have a need for that? And Worf goes, yeah, but He goes, it's too fragile. And, you know, this is killing it for Riker even. He goes, Worf, if anyone else said that, I suspect he was bragging. And he goes, bragging? And then he goes, I got to call. He goes, I got to check in. Oh, wait, there was also, also the bubble. I forgot, the voice of the bubble sounds like Paul Frees, the famous voice actor. Riker cracks up. Worf just has a serious face. Then Riker can't reach the Enterprise. And he goes, get our selves together. And then just the way Worf said this, he goes, including Wesley, the boy. He just says it in this way. I love Worf. I mean, if you don't get that, you'll soon realize my love for Worf. I mean, I believe most of the roommates I've had in my life have been a Worf, if there was a personality type. I mean, I don't mean like physically. I mean, but so then Riker, Riker and Troy go to look for Wesley. And Tosh is having this conversation over cocktails about crime. Because they say, oh, we used to have crime, but now we don't. Because there's just a zone. And if you are breaking any laws in that zone, you get in trouble. And it's pretty strict, so no one breaks any laws. And Tosh is like, any law? And they're like, any law? And she goes, well, why didn't you tell the visitors about this? And Worf's like, we better get Wesley. Because you know how clumsy he is. Then we have the law is the law, they say. And then Wesley goes past the line and falls into the new plants. He goes, it's fine. I'm fine. Wesley's like, don't worry about me. They're like, no, the plants. And then security shows up. And this was very science fiction-y in a good way. Because they say, oh, how sad you were. You broke those plants. They say, well, he didn't know about the rules. And they say, well, always sad, now doubly so. And you say, Wesley says, well, I was just playing ball. Like, he goes, I'm from Starfleet. We don't lie. And they say, well, okay, but sorry, we do, you're in trouble. Then Riker, let's see. I'm sorry, I messed up new plants. It's like a totally confusing situation. And then Riker shows up, and then they say, well, is this how friends, you're friends? Riker's like, well, you're not arresting Wesley. And they go, is this how friends act? Riker can't get through the Enterprise. Then we see, like, and then Tosh and Worf show up, and they're like, this is trouble. And then, let's see, Data and the bubble are having an information exchange. The bubble leaves. And then they get a call from Riker. And I think that's when Picard says, I'm beaming down. Then there's an ad. And then Riker and Picard, they talk to Troy. And they say, well, here people are honest to a fault. But they have great pride in, you know, how they do things. And then they said, Yartha, Captain, we're ready. And then that's when the Prime Directive comes in. Because Picard's like, well, I just can't break... They say, well, these are our rules, and we have to follow them. Wesley damaged the plants. He was in the non-damaging plant zone. He goes, that's our laws. Maybe you have laws where you come from. And, you know, they talk about, crime and punishment, you know, Dostoevsky-type stuff, and how laws change, and how people advance. And they say, well, geez, well, maybe you could just take Wesley. Like, we can't release him because those are our laws. But maybe, you know, if you're so advanced, you could just take him from us. And then Picard's like, well, we have the Prime Directive. So it means we can't mess with your laws. We have to follow your laws, kind of. And Riker goes, there's this big thing going around your planet. You have any idea what that is? They go, oh, yeah, it's God up there. He goes, it's like a table building ship. They go, oh, yeah, it's God protecting us. But, you know, Riker doesn't say that. He goes, how would you describe God? They said, well, existing here and in another place also, which was true. And if God wants to show power, it can make itself felt most fully. Also, this was a WTF thing that could be investigated. We have learned to detect the seeds of criminal behavior. Picard said that at some point. I said, what? And that sounded controversial to me. Then Picard takes a woman with him and Troy, and she says, I'm frightened, going because she's about to get transported to another planet to see her god. And Troy says, don't worry. She actually says there's no reason to be. I don't know if that's like a proper counseling. And her name's Riven or something. And she's like very impressed with the ship. She goes, Jesus, this is like a big thing. Then she has to like go look at her own god. Of course, she falls to her knees. Then Picard ticks the god off, you know, because he says, you know, identify. I don't know. He wants to know that this is definitely like, how do you know it's your god? And have you talked to it? And the god says, put my kid back on Earth. And so Picard sends her down. Says, well, that didn't work out. And Picard says, geez, I feel bad about that. And he goes, she was really frightened by her god. And Troy says, it's understandable, sir. Sharing an orbit with God is no small experience. I liked that line. And then, you know, Crusher says, geez, what are you going to do, you know, to get my kid out? And she goes, I expect some action. He goes, if he was your son, you'd be as frightened. And Picard says, but I am. And then we have this funny thing that's become a kind of recurring theme for me. It's like, is Data's like a super stoned person sometimes? Because Data recovers from the Data thing, the Data exchange. And Picard says, well, what do you think's going on? And he goes, perhaps it's not a vessel, sir. He goes, the dimension, this they're talking about the Edo god. The dimensions that occupies them allows them to be in several places at once, but they consider this entire star cluster theirs. He goes, probably shouldn't have put a colony here. He goes, but we picked the one that was the largest and the closest. And Picard says, Data, don't babble. He goes, babble, sir. I'm not aware I ever babble, sir. It may be that from time to time I have considerable information to communicate, and you may question the way I organize it. And Picard says, please, I said, Data could do this podcast. Please organize in brief answers to my questions. And he says, you know, get to the point. And he goes, do the gods accept our presence? You're like, Picard's trying to find his way around the prime directive. But then he says, Data gets too terse. And he says, Data, please feel free to volunteer any important information. He goes, well, you just shamed me for being a babbler. And then they kind of go back and forth about the prime directive. And if they violate it, what will the Edo god do? And Data says, well, it's just judging us by our own rules that make us untrustworthy. But Data doesn't know the context. And then at the end, he goes, you're right, sir. I do tend to babble. I just liked it. But then Picard kind of figures it out. Another stores moment. Another stoned moment. I do tend to babble. Then there's an ad. Then there was a really good stardate. Captain's Log stardate. Whatever object or vessel is in orbit with us, it hangs there like a nemesis. I just loved that too. And then Data goes to meet with Picard. Picard says, Data goes, you want me, sir? He goes, yeah, let's have some more talk, Data. And he goes, sit down. And Data says, well, what level of communication, sir? And Picard says, any. My apologies for saying you babbled. And Picard is such a, he's really quick to apologize when he's wrong. He's a good captain. It was just funny, like, I don't know, the details you could pick out of the show that are cool. I just find this so cool that there's this babbling thing in here. And it just really makes me love the show and watching it for the fourth time this episode. Let's see. So they have more talk. Data's got some great questions. He really helps Picard kind of find an answer. Because Picard says, well, what do you think I should do about it? He goes, well, with the Prime Directive, he goes, how do they evaluate the Prime Directive? What are their values? And Picard says, geez, how do I explain it? He goes, the way Wesley being arrested with everybody I'm in charge of in the Prime Directive. And Picard says, and Data says, well, will you choose one person over 1,000? And Data says, or Picard says, I refuse to let arithmetic decide questions like this. And then they kind of talk about, like, geez, how is this a god, this device? The big question, like 1 versus 1,000. And I just put wow about this discussion, you know, because he says, well, any advanced life form is going to seem like a god to a less life form. But even Data says, this is cool, because he says, well, maybe this is another step in evolution, because when they were probing my mind, I saw they existed once just in this dimension like we do, maybe even flesh. And he goes, but now they're living in some sort of multidimensional universe, which has advantages we do not even understand. And actually, I think this is what it gives for, I didn't realize it till just this moment, but then Picard says, well, maybe they had shared values when they were, flesh, if they were flesh, you know, humans. And Data says, well, the Ito, you know, the Ito are like somewhat mammalian too. And Picard says, well, why would an advanced, multidimensional race be looking over this planet? And he goes, well, it's like a colony, maybe. Then Crusher comes, and they get ready to go down. Picard says, don't worry, I'll deal with this. Something Wesley. Then they're on the planet, and Riker, they're like, okay, it's almost time. Then Picard and Crusher come, and the woman almost confuses them with gods. Then Wesley comes. He goes, are you going to let him arrest me? He goes, no, but we have to find a way out. And then the security guards are like, you know, you're here. What are you doing? You're kind of disrupting our way of life with all this nonsense. And Picard's trying to weigh out the different rules. And Wesley's like, geez, I don't want my, you know, he goes, just because he goes, I don't want to like my, he goes, I'm not more important than, you know, all the other people on the ship. I don't know what I'm going to do here, but Captain Picard. And then Picard's like, all right, I think we're ready to go. And then the Ito even warn them. They say, well, our God's not going to be happy with you if you just do what you wish. Because Picard's like, geez, we're not supposed to interfere with other lives in the galaxy. Because they're like, what kind of justice is this if it's just your justice? You know, this is a kind of like a subtle anti-colonial statement. Then Tasha's like, well, what about Wesley and justice? He didn't know your laws. And Picard's like, well, I got to make a decision. You know, I got to worry about my form of justice, kind of. And then the transporter won't work. So then Picard yells up to the god. Well, I think first Dr. Crusher says, this is an unfair god. And they say, well, ignorance of, you know, law isn't a defense. And Picard says, I don't know how to communicate this, but, you know, justice has concerned me of great lately. And I say to any creature that's listening, there can be no justice as long as the laws are absolute. This was the same message at the end of Aladdin, by the way. Even life itself is an exercise in exceptions. And this one, Riker goes, yeah, one's justice is simple as a rule book. And then they beamed up, and Picard says, it seems the Ito Lord agrees with you, number one. And then we're back on the bridge. And Riker puts a viewer on. Picard says, let's call him. He goes, we're going to remove the colonists from the solar system if you signal us to do so. Please tell us. And then the ship just disappears. And they say, was that a signal? And Picard says, I suppose it must be. I was hoping for more. And Geordi says, of what, sir? I'm glad it's gone. And Riker says, yep, short and sweet, godlike efficiency. And Picard, of course, like being the commander, he says, geez, I was hoping we'd learn more about it. But since we can't, let's roll, number one. And he says, gladly, sir. And that ends the episode.
All right, but this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from.
on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.